is the great I am. Good morning, everyone. It is such a blessing to be here at the Southwest Central Church of Christ as we come together to worship God in this time and place. Folks, we have some cards you may have noticed on the back of your seat or on the back of the seat in front of you. We'd love to get a record of your attendance. We've got blue cards if you fill that out. We have encouragement cards if you see anything that you'd like to give someone a pat on the back with. If you have any messages you'd like to give the staff, just let us know you're here. Cora Sargent is going to come now and light our Christ candle.
And now, friends, I invite you to stand as I read Psalm 24. Let's remain standing for the two songs to follow, and we can sit for the Lord's Prayer. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Let's worship together.
This is holy ground, we're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground, we're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. You are holy on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us Jesus now, we are standing in his presence on holy ground. You are holy God, a perfect and holy God. We will come before you with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood. You are holy God, a perfect and holy God. We will come before you with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. Holy, holy, Round, round, round the crystal sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee. Oh, what a garden evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over person, blessed Trinity.
Let's be seated.
I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. I want to invite, if we can get the screen up there, I want to invite one of you to volunteer to say the Lord's Prayer for us. You can either stand up right where you are, or you can come up front to the microphone. Either way is just fine. Is there a volunteer who would like to do that today?
Bow your head, church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Ford. And thank you, church, for joining in. As we've done since the beginning of our Mark series, we have a call to discipleship, this next slide that's coming up. As usual, I will do the reader part if you will respond with the all. Brent will come and lead us in a song after this. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Good morning. Today we will be reading from Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed down on rocky places, hear the word at once and receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown."
Thanks, Xander. I appreciate that. Let's pray together, please. O God, who does all things well, pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. Again, Steve got up to preach. The crowd that gathered before him was not so large, not so small, but in order for everyone to see and hear him best, he stood near the stage at a squeaky old music stand with a microphone before him. The audience sat in comfortable, spread-apart chairs at the edge of the spotlight's brightness, and Steve told them a story. Listen to this one. My grandparents, for a bulk of their professional life, owned and operated a picture frame shop in San Angelo, Texas. Southland Frame Center, it was called, named after the street the building resided on. My grandparents, with their well-deserved reputation for skill and integrity, never broke the bank as far as finances go, but enjoyed what they did and took pride in their craftsmanship. Throughout my childhood and into my 20s, the frame shop sat predominantly in the backdrop of my life, and today sits on a pedestal of nostalgia in my heart. My brother, my sister, and I knew every inch of that store. The front half, where they sold original G. Harvey paintings and bronze molds of rugged cowboys on bucking broncos. Finished framed products leaned against the cabinets. The cash register sat on top of a carpeted countertop, and taped to the wall behind it were thank you letters from grateful customers. The back half of the store, though, was the Holy of Holies. Not just anybody could go back there. To get to the back, you had to walk through swinging double doors wide enough for one person at a time, but not two. Large wooden tables lined the center of the room. That is where the magic happened. Dimensions and precisions and cuts, framing the prints, the pictures, the college diplomas perfectly. Newspaper clippings were pinned to the bulletin boards. A 15-inch tube TV set on a filing cabinet, and for some reason, a long snakeskin hung downward against the wall like a stretched-out metal slinky. Next to that snakeskin was, and still is, the sacred altar of Southland Frame Center. On the door frame that holds the swinging doors in place is the beloved height chart, the blessed spot where we grandkids were measured and marked and dated to show how tall we were getting. There I am as a 7-year-old, as a 9, as a 13, as a 15, short for my age. There's my brother Chris, my sister Kelly, my cousins Courtney, Michael, Wesley, Lisa, and Brad, who is no longer with us. Second cousins, Stacy, Tracy, Chandra, Matthew, Michelle, it's a whole family tree written up there, denoted not by branches, but in inches. Last summer, Chelsea, Cora, and I made a quick stop in San Angelo on a road trip through Texas, surprising my uncle who took over the store 20 years ago. The smell and the sights of the shop were the exact same, even as it felt a bit empty without my grandparents there. In the back room, through the swinging doors, you know that I did what I came to do. 7 years after the first, I marked with a pen my daughter's height for the second time on that door frame. Cora signed her own name, just like how I used to do when I was her age. She dated it to August 12, 2020. The speed of decades and the beauty of generations was not lost on me then, and all I could do was give thanks. Stories move us, don't they? You pay closer attention to a good story, to a good storyteller. You lean in, you listen, you picture in your brain what is being told, an internal movie reel that attempts to picture the words, detail the images, to see the snake skin on the wall. You are moved, maybe, in one way or another, either by my experience or your own, as you remember your grandparents, or your childhood, or your height charts. Stories move us. They change us. Jesus tells a story by the sea. His pulpit, a boat. His sanctuary, the open sky. His audience's pews, the rocky shoreline. He tells them a story about a farmer, a sower, the land, and some seed. The people pay attention, picturing in their minds what is being told. They are moved, maybe, in one way or another, as they remember past and present experiences of farmers and sowers and land and seed from their own lives. But Jesus' story is not simply a story for story's sake, no, not that there's anything wrong with that. Jesus' story is also a parable. The old standby definition of parable and earthly story with a heavenly meaning is easy to memorize and easy to recite. But if you read the parables like ours today, that definition leaves a little something to be desired. Parables are not logical speeches with concise points that give you the answers you need to know for heaven's test. Nor are parables puzzles, and it's up to your academic mind to piece the clues together to come up with the one spiritual point God needs you to know. Parables, rather, are told in order to move us, to transform us. They refuse to reduce faith to bullet points or irrefutable evidence. Parables will not and cannot be boxed in by a fixed interpretation with walls built on every side to hold that interpretation in. The genius of the parable is the invitation to continually return to their words, approaching them with curiosity, with honesty, with shoes off, with knowing that if I am really going to engage the parable, then I'd better get ready for an all-night wrestling match with Jacob's angel. What's attractively simple on the surface turns into a cavernous exploration once you begin to scratch it. What more is there? What else is going on? What's being disclosed? What is God up to? It's the constant search for deeper understanding, for new possibilities, fresh glimpses, opportunities to flourish. This search is the search for the kingdom of God. If we permit the parables to do their work within us, then they will change us. That is to say, that God's Spirit will change us through the parables. If we allow it, then our eyes, hands, hearts, our whole being will change, our minds even. The hardest of all bodily organs to change will be change. So Jesus, the greatest storyteller of all, tells a story about a parable, or he tells a parable about a farmer, a sower, the land, some seed. Even those of us who have grown up in a society with massive industrialized-sized farms with John Deere tractors the size of airplanes and fresh bread wrapped in plastic bags purchased in grocery stores, even then we can envision this story. A farm on a much smaller scale. A sower reaching into the pouch at his hip, grabbing a fistful of brown seed ripe with promise. The sway of his arm as he tosses the seed to the ground, landing wherever it may. 3/4 of the seed fails to fall in productive places, which seems like a staggering amount of waste. Instead of efficiently planting a seed one by one in long and narrow straight rows, the sower, however, is unconcerned, having done this job for many years. A crop will come. Some seed falls on the road and birds immediately snatch it up. Some falls in the gravel, sprouting quickly but without space to put down roots, it withers just as fast. Some falls among the weeds, and as the plant shoots up, the weeds smother it. Some, though, fall on good soil and thrive, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Jesus ends the story with a cryptic expression. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. What Jesus really wanted to know is this. Are you really listening? When Jesus is alone again, his 12 disciples, the one he appointed just last Sunday, they come to him confused. The parable you told, what does it mean? Jesus answers it this way. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The word there for secret is also the word for mystery. The mystery has been given to you. I don't know if that response helped or hindered the 12, but I can tell you that when it comes to matters of faith in God today, we don't want secrets or mystery. We want clarity. We want answers. If we wanted mystery, we would go find one on the bargain shelf at Half Price Books. In Mark's gospel thus far, though, Jesus has embodied secrecy, shrouded in mystery. He makes big decisions upon mountaintops away from crowds. He walks away from teeming successes. He commands demons not to tell anyone who he is. When he heals people publicly, he says things like, "See that you don't tell this to anyone." Clandestine ministry does not seem very business savvy, especially when you have the masses eating out of the palms of your hands. Why not take advantage of that? Isn't that what Jesus came to do? In that same frame shop on Southland Boulevard in San Angelo, Texas, my grandparents also sold Magic Eye posters. Do you remember these? You know what they are? It's basically a three-dimensional shape laid underneath a two-dimensional pattern. In order to see the 3D shape, you had to see through the 2D pattern. People had different techniques. Cross your eyes and you'll see the picture. Close one eye. Put the paper close to your face and slowly pull it away. Tilt your head 45 degrees. Stand on one leg. Hop up and down. Tug on your left ear and I promise you'll see it. My sister in that shop could spot the picture right away. 5 seconds flat. A shark, a unicorn, a fire-breathing dragon. I, meanwhile, could never see it. Cross my eyes, tilt my head, tug my ear, nothing. I even tried a few magic eyes this week and still can't do it. The secret, the mystery of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Jesus, by word and by deed, gives us eyes to see through the flat, blurry, two-dimensional, tasteless experience. He exposes what's above, slicing through layers upon layers of sin and shame that pain and falsehood and time and even religion has brought about, blinding us to truth. Jesus, by word and by deed, reveals what's hiding in plain sight. What's been present all along, what we keep missing and misunderstanding. He comes to give us ears to hear the dynamic, energetic, full of life refrain of the three-dimensional Father, Son, and Spirit that is forever bent on bringing about the rich treasures of the kingdom of God. The poor get some good news. Prisoners are released. The blind can see. The oppressed are set free. The time of the Lord's favor is right now. The secret has been given to you, Jesus says, which means that you are in on it. You are in on the kingdom of God. Referencing Isaiah 6, Jesus tells them that his parables are spoken to outsiders so they could see but never perceive and hear but never understand. If they did, they might turn back to God and receive forgiveness. Taken by itself, this verse could be taken as God intentionally hardening people's hearts. But looking at Isaiah 6 as a whole, it's one of the grandest sections in all the Hebrew Scriptures, where the prophet Isaiah gets a terrifying vision of God Almighty with an earthquake-sized upheaval in the temple, and the mighty angels are belting out in song, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." God sears the sin out of Isaiah's lips with fire and then sends him out to preach this message. "You will hear but never understand. You will see but never perceive. Otherwise they could turn and be healed." It's a sermon dripping with irony as a way to convict God's people, to prod them toward insight and responsiveness. God goes on to say that Israel will be destroyed, nations ravaging their people and their cities. Trees will be ripped down. Every tree will be a stump. There will be a huge field of stumps. But the vision ends like this. Hidden deep in those stumps, there is a holy seed. Jesus tells a story by the sea. He tells them about the farmer, a sower, the land, and some seed. It's a parable, a way to say that God's holy seed is being thrown everywhere in proclamation of God's kingdom. Far and wide, what you see are dead stumps, trees that once stood tall, but I tell you to listen. God's secret kingdom is being sown all around you. The parable chips away at the hardness of hearts, the minds that refuse to change, the eyes that cannot yet see, the ears that cannot yet hear. It's especially about that one, about hearing. All four places the kingdom seed lands, Jesus says the word is heard, but all four soils receive it differently. The soil, the seed that lands on the paved over soil, is heard in passing before Satan snatches it away. The seed that lands in the gravel is heard with enthusiasm, but initial emotions wear off and difficulty arise and nothing comes from it. The seed that lands among the weeds is heard positively, but worry about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get strangles the message that goes in their ears. But the seed that lands on good soil lands upon open and receptive ears. They embrace it. They hear the word, embrace it, and yield a harvest 30, 60, 100 times more than they ever expected. This parable is about the reception to God's holy kingdom, a willingness to continually listen, to regularly rethink, and to forever respond to the received word that changes everything. This is what a life of discipleship means. Through the myriad of possible interpretations Jesus' striking parable can offer, we are at least led to ask, what kind of soil am I? If you were to tell me stories of your life like I have told you some of mine, my guess is that we would find not one kind of soil within you, but four. You would share stories of the unyieldingness of evil, the ruthlessness of Satan, gobbling up any promise of life before it even had a chance, the grief and loss of what never was. You'd share stories of hearing the word with great joy, that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that God has a plan for your life, and you responded with baptism, with service, with church attendance. But over time, the delight you once had in Jesus waned, shrank, evaporated, and feelings wore off when boredom or trouble arose. And you woke up one day wondering if what you believed in then was just a mirage. Why you ever thought that roots could run deep in an unforgiving environment such as this. You would share stories of the days when spiritual growth came easily for you. Bible studies and big visions, community and commonality, when the seeded kingdom grew wildly. But weeds were there too, sending their sneaky tendrils straight to your heart and over your eyes and into your ears. Which is why you began worrying about the 1,000 legitimate topics you have to worry about every day. Love, war, sickness, climate, death, friendship. The weeds then offer their seductive sedatives to numb these worries, and you bowed to them. The desire for wealth, the desire for stuff. The collection of things deceived and suffocated what once flourished. But you would also share stories of when the minerals and the air and the water and the organic matter seemed to mix just right. And the seeds of the kingdom, packed with the lavish heart of God, landed nearby with a quiet kerplunk. Your openness and availability made you ready and receptive to hear the word, the steady movements of God to bring about life. As your mind changed, as cataracts were removed and ears unclogged, you came to recognize that the seed sown within you could not be taken away, not by Satan, not by boredom, not by deceitfulness of more stuff. The seed found a home in you, and it still blooms up the height chart more than you ever thought possible. The kingdom of God is within you, you learned, and you treat it as it should be treated, as a gift from God, held tightly while also shared generously. With all our stories, we remember to entrust God with each of our soils, all the soil, not just the good, but also the hard-packed soil, the gravelly soil, the soil filled with weeds. Pray that God will prepare you to receive, no matter where your feet and faith stands. The scattering God will keep tossing seed ripe with promise into places where we think nothing good could ever grow. God, who is not lacking, will find a way to bring about the harvest, because that is what God in Jesus does. Finally, all of it results in praise to God, and we, my friends, get to add our voices to the creature choir, rejoicing by faith to the one who proclaims a kingdom secret, a mystery, a revelation that we, by grace, get to be in on. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And together we say, or we type, amen. Let's stand in worship.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name. unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever. Bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto.
The holy God to which we just offered our praise, the one who is other, is also very near, very close. And every single Sunday we get to share in that nearness together as one body, as we break the bread, as we drink from the cup. So we're going to do that with great joy and anticipation in just a few moments. As we've been doing, I want to invite a couple of you to share the bread and the cup with me. I'm going to go this half today. Maybe I can get a couple other folks. Three halves. I'll do this one. We need someone, maybe two in the middle, and someone if you'll get my left, please. You can join us in that way. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to sanitize my hands. If you're going to come up and help out, I invite you to definitely do the same. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, who causes growth, you who make things to grow. Grow within us an increased understanding and appreciation and insight to your kingdom, which is all around us and which we are parts. Because of that partness, we get to share in the bread and the cup today. What a gift. Through Christ we pray. Amen. We have been given a gift, and we also get to give gifts with our lives, our time, our resources. We have a couple of folks now, Glenn and Larry, together going to pass around our offering plates. If you have something to place in there, thank you for doing that. Thank you for that. You can also give online, like so many of you do. Drop it by the office, put it in the mail, and send it that way. However you give it, we give you thanks for your participation in the work of this neighborhood. Thank you. Let's pray together, and then these guys will walk around. By your gifted growth, O God, we pray that the funds given would continue to increase your kingdom, the seed that you keep tossing everywhere. By your grace and your goodness, let us be a part of that too. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, a couple of family matters to share with you. You can go to that first one. So classes are beginning today. It has been roughly a year and a half since we last met in person in Bible classes. I know there were a couple of them going on via Zoom, which worked well for what it was, and now we get to meet in person. And I believe that there are going to be a few classes that are still going to have people Zoom in who for right now are choosing not to be in person. That's great. We're so glad that they can join us in this way, just as folks join us on Facebook Live. You see up there the one that we just passed, if you go back just a second, Dan, where the locations are for each of our classes. For right now, Bonnie, who is helping with our preschoolers, she's going to be in the nursery. It could be in the future that we move to the children's wing, the old Roots room, but for right now, we're going to keep that in the nursery for those of you with children who need that. I am jumping up into the teen class again, so I'm super excited about that, and so also pray for me. It's also going to be a great joy, so those of you with teenagers, junior high school, I will be up there and looking forward to it. This is BIM month here at Southwest Central. BIM is our area food bank, pantry that helps out with needs and supplies for our neighborhood. You see this list of items that they could use and give away to our neighbors. You can bring that to the church building and we'll take care of it, or you can bring it down to BIM itself, which is at Willow Meadows Baptist. All right, we have VBS coming up in about 3 weeks. 3 weeks from right now is opening night for our Vacation Bible School. It's called Compassion Camp, at Southwest Central. We're going to focus on three things: God's compassion for me, God's compassion for us, God's compassion for the world, which, if you look to the sides, it mirrors this theme that we've been talking about for so long now, in solitude with God and community with each other and ministry to the world around us. So it mirrors that. I need a lot of help, and so I would love for you to help with all sorts of things, not only clean up and set up, but also small group leaders for the breakout groups we have for our children, and serving food, and can you come and help me set up some stuff here in the auditorium, things like that. King sent out a Google form to email. Hopefully many of you received that. If you did not, let me know. There's ways that you can check mark boxes and say, I could potentially help in these ways. If you did not get that email, or you need another method to sign up, there are some of these forms on the lobby table or even in the back of the auditorium. You can just give those to me, and I'll use you in volunteer roles as needed. If you have children or children who belong to your friends or neighbors or something like that, please sign them up. There are sign-up forms on the back table that you can bring a copy of that home and get them to sign that, or you can sign that. Bring it back to me, please, and we'll take care of it that way. Okay, last thing before I do our sending out and benediction, hopefully you saw either in the newsletter or the bulletin today that Ellery McDaniel is at Impulse, which is the middle school camp at Abilene Christian University, and I would love for you, just as you did for our younger kids at Learning to Lead at ACU, flood Ellery's mailbox with letters and notes of encouragement and prayer and money. Send that on to her and bless her in these ways. Let her know that we love her and we care for her, that we're blessing her in this specific way. All right, friends, before we are sent out to our classes and from there sent out into the world to love the world, I invite you to stand for this sending out, for this benediction. The close of the parable that we heard this morning. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. May you and may we all have ears to hear this week. Go in peace and in purpose. Amen.